so much of that decision was, yes, listening to what I knew and believed at my core was the right thing for me and the right thing from a principal standpoint, but it was also the women that came before me. You know, there is this domino effect. That's why I love women so much. It's like, I look to so many other women who were doing that and were using their voice and were like just taking a stand or taking a leap of faith and a risk.
You're listening to the Almost 30 podcast, hosted by Krista Williams and Lindsay Simsek. Almost 30 started as a conversation about the transition from our 20s to our 30s. But then we realized life is full of transitions. So we expanded our mission.
We are an intuition-led, wellness-focused lifestyle podcast that promises to deliver authentic conversations, diverse points of view, and insights rooted in optimism, growth, and intention. The Almost 30 Nation community is a group of purposeful dreamers who are smart, passionate, and always seeking the full potential in every aspect of their lives.
At Almost 30, we're making magic together. We dream it,
and then we do it.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Almost 30 podcast.
Here we go. Hello, everyone.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to the podcast.
It's us. It's Lindsay and Krista, and we're so happy you're here. Thanks for finding us. I don't know how you found us, but we're glad. And this thing is almost 3 years in. I just thought about that the other day.
Yeah.
3 whole years.
3 years of growth, reflection,
tears and laughs and
tears
blood.
And laughters, highs and lows. My entrepreneur fam, you know me, you feel me. But also my corporate chicas, you feel me too, because there are highs and lows of the corporate world as well.
Truly.
I mean, yo, the roller coaster actually never stops.
I was thinking about that. I have like younger siblings, and they were, one of them was talking about how they're kind of bored. And I was like,
huh?
Oh,
that's weird.
But I kind of like, I can imagine that that is a common feeling at some point, you know, within any type of job, right? You kind of get to a stagnant point. I'm like, how do you, what advice do I give right now? Cause I'm like,
yeah,
deal with it for a second or like do something about it. I don't really know. It's just, it's never going to be like this high. Like you get all this stuff from it. There's going to be like periods of like plateaus where you just have to be.
This is the thing. So if you're at a corporate job and you're bored, you're if you enjoy it, you can use it as an opportunity to find other parts of the business or the company to grow. Mm. But if you don't enjoy it, don't say shit, because then you're going to get fucked and then you're going to get extra projects and extra things. So it's like a catch 22 where like you could be bored. And if you're like telling your superiors or your boss or whatever that you're bored, they're going to find opportunities to pull you into meetings, to pull you into projects, to give you extra work. And that's a tough situation because a lot of times you're not being paid for it. And yes, if you don't know your career trajectory, if it's based on like just your boss promoting you, the whole company, the team, whatever promoting you, then you could just be doing extra work for an unforeseen amount of time. And that doesn't, you know, unless you love it, it's kind of a bad place to be in. So I would, you know, say that if you don't like your job, you could use that boredness as an opportunity to find something that you love to do outside of work or better yourself, or really just like turn the focus back on you and kind of use your job as something that's going to pay you, to support you while you are fulfilling your needs for expansion outside of work.
Yeah, totally. And I also think it's, you know, our generation and maybe younger generations are looking towards that, like what it should feel like. And everyone's an entrepreneur and it's so glammed up on Instagram. And, or if you're in the corporate world and working for a brand, amazing. And like, there is like a distorted sense of what that should feel and look like at all times. So like really putting into perspective, one, that it's going to take time to maybe get in your groove. And maybe the bored feeling is a little bit of avoidance of maybe some things you could work on too. You know what I mean? I think like bored is an interesting thing to proclaim. You know, I think there's always things to work on.
Yeah, especially at your job too. Like, you know, there'd be times where I was bored, but there's stuff I needed to do. I just didn't want to do it. And I think, you know, for people that are early on in the corporate world, or even in the entrepreneurial world, a feeling of boredness is kind of sometimes an avoidance of doing those things that you should be doing.
Totally.
Filling out that Excel sheet, you know, the really unfun and unsexy things about what you do. I even think about super glamorous and gorgeous jobs. You know, say you were to work at just a really sexy, fun, exciting job and you see it on Instagram and it's got all the beautiful pictures and everything like that. There is so much that leading up to that point that is unsexy and unfun. It's unbelievable. And I think we know that now being behind the scenes with Almost 30, you know, our events that we do, the podcast, everything is positive and awesome and uplifting and gorgeous. And that's really the goal, to showcase this positive side of us, of our community and everything like that. Although we do keep it very, very real. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes at any job, at any corporation. And that includes ours. And that includes a lot of these entrepreneurial businesses that look really sexy. There's so much boring stuff to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was going to say about the events and kind of people not knowing exactly what goes on behind the scenes, but we had a girl reach out from Denver after our Denver event. And she was like, I know that events are really hard to do and there's a lot that goes on. And I just want to say that it was done so well and we all had such a great time. And it was just a very, very sweet note that went a long way, because it's true, you know, nothing is as glamorous as it looks or as easy as it looks. And so just a simple note like that really makes it all worth it.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Catherine. That was Catherine, sweet, from Denver. So thanks for that kind note about our Denver event. Yeah. Our Denver event popped off. It was sold out. Everyone was awesome. And the team did a really great job. Chloe and Shara and Kayla from afar, just getting everything together for that. But we were actually talking about the entrepreneurial thing because of the girl in the group.
Yeah. So we had Becky in the group reach out to everyone. She said, anyone starting a business this summer, I'm in the same boat and freaking out. And she said, let me support you with love and social follows if so, which is so sweet. Yeah. I mean, summer's such an interesting time to start something new. It does feel right because it's a new season, but I do also think it's the time when it's like really tempting not to dig in and get shit done if you really want to start something. I've always kind of felt like it was a really good incubator time. So giving myself 3 months and organizing in that way to have something ready for September 1 or the fall or whatever that may be. And whether it's a personal pursuit or business-wise, it's a really nice way to... No one needs to know about it. You know what I mean? Like people are doing their thing over the summer. So I really, for me and what I want to do, I don't need to share it with anyone. And then come fall, I feel like it's ready. But I also think for people starting a business, it's a great time to bring people together in community to get opinions or like ideas or feedback about your brand or whatever you are doing, because people I feel like are a little bit more relaxed and open and willing to help.
Yeah, 'Tis the season. I agree. I also think just think about, you know, the way that businesses are going nowadays too, especially in our arena. And it seems like everyone's building them from the outside in. And I think it should be the opposite. Everyone's creating the website. They're creating the social media accounts. They're doing everything from the branding, the logo and everything like that, because women, we're very creative. We're very visual. You know, we kind of see things in our minds before it exists on this plane. But I think people need to do the foundation first. And like I said, in our interview with Jane from Dermalogica, you need to kind of build the car while it's moving. So you need to have all the structures and everything set up in place before, I think, you know, you're sharing with people, you're creating the social media account, you're creating the newsletter, you're creating all of these things, and create the demand for whatever your business is, and then kind of go from there and have the your consumer, the community, whoever is your buyer in quotes, or the person that is consuming whatever it is that you're putting out, can help you guide where you're going to take your business. Mm-hmm. Because I do think a lot of times too, people equate the amount of followers that you have with the amount of money that you make. And that is absolutely not true. There is such a discrepancy in that place where we know people that have millions of followers and they don't make that much money. And then we know people that have 10,000 followers and they make a lot of money. So the equation of having a social following support is very important. You need to be supporting the women in your community, however it is that you can. And I think the Almost 30 Podcast Facebook group, if you join it, we are there for you and we would love to support you in your endeavor, however that may be. But understanding that just because you have a low amount of followers or a high amount of followers doesn't mean that your business is making an amount of money that equates to that. So I really, really challenge people to think about that when they are starting their business. Mm-hmm. Don't focus on the social number. It will come. I think you need to focus on actually creating a sustainable business that you are proud of, that you feel aligned to, that is making money, and then kind of going from there.
And also not focusing on the amount of people you're reaching in the beginning. You know, so if you can have a smaller audience that are super engaged, those 10 people will tell, each of them will tell 10 people and so on and so forth. So whether it's a local bakery, like you just are doing like a pop-up bakery and like maybe you have 10 customers who are obsessed with you, they're going to tell 10, 20 friends, right? So not focusing on like, oh God, like, you know, that podcast or that brand reaches so many people in this many cities and they can deliver to there and do this. It's like, hey, if you have, Tim Ferriss mentions this in his Tools of Titans, the 1000 True Fans, which I think was originally by Kevin Kelly. We can link the article in the show notes, but it's just the idea that, you know, if they are engaged and they are, if you're giving them valuable content and they spend $100 a year with you, that's $100,000. So really focusing on those people that are engaged and trust you, and it will organically build.
Yeah. If you think about, you know, a price point for your product, it doesn't necessarily have to be 100, but just thinking simply about those numbers and, you know, $100,000 is an amazing amount of money to make for you, depending on where you're living and your expenses. And the number 1,000 is not absolute. It can be $50 per year with 2,000, but I think that's a helpful number to think about when you're thinking about structuring your business so you could potentially do this full time in the future.
Mm. Yeah. And I'd love to know, you know, what people are freaking out about specifically, because I'm sure the fears kind of range depending on people's experiences. And I can imagine, at least from my experience and perspective, just the business and structural part of it all might be daunting to, say, a more creative person, and vice versa for someone who's really into structuring and strategizing and operating the business. Maybe they feel like they don't have the time to get creative. So I do feel like there is a delicate dance that needs to be done, and it might not always feel balanced at all. I don't know if it ever does. But really carving in time to be creative, whatever that means for you, whether it is a white space day and you're able to go out in nature, or maybe you just free write or you just allow ideas to come in. I think that's just as important as putting, you know, the structures in place to run the business.
Yep. And what Becky is doing, she's doing a small batch ice cream shop.
So cool.
Called Cherry on Top Creamery, which is incredible. And the girls in the group are supporting her with all that they can. So we've actually also too been talking about with Almost 30 Podcast, and I wanted to see Almost 30 Nation community, if you're interested in doing something like a mentorship program. So this mentorship program would take a situation like Becky's and match Becky up with someone else in the group that is an entrepreneur, has started their own business and is running it successfully. So we're kind of exploring this idea. And if you guys are interested in that, please let us know in the Facebook group and we can see what we can do about that this fall.
Yeah. I was just talking to my friend, speaking of entrepreneurs, my friend, Kate Hoffman, who started Spacey Studios. And I'm just so impressed by, you know, her commitment and her vision. This is a place where we can go. You can go to find curated collections of art that you might not normally see or discover, and learn about it. And you can buy in trios. I recently got a collection by Delta Venus. So My Mountains, Date Palms in Cairo, and The Falls. It's a really beautiful, simple drawing. And I'm loving it. There's something about creating a space and looking around and being like, oh, I designed this. And Spacey connects you with artists who are really cool. It's not snobby whatsoever. So if you'd like to check it out, spaceystudios.com, you can use the code ALMOST30 for a discount. But I just, you know, with entrepreneurs, it's an idea like that, which is not a new idea, but doing it differently and being brave enough to kind of create a community around it. I think the community is key.
Yeah, I love that. And community, I'm excited for our retreat.
Cannot wait. We just sold out.
Yes. Sold out.
We did it. Yeah, we're so excited to meet you and to spend time with 24 of you at Calamigos Ranch in Malibu.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful. We love Calamigos Ranch. It's Restoration Hardware and Malibu Chic. And we have a full schedule of restorative healing modalities. We have astrology, we have massages, makeup stuff, we have mini facials, we have amazing, delicious plant-based and non-plant-based food. There is tons of activities and connection and community there. So we are excited to create a beautiful space for our girls that attend.
Yeah, we can't wait. So it's going to be health and wellness to spirituality, workouts, silliness. It's going to be great. And we also, I'm really excited, the swimwear brand 437 Swimwear is donating bathing suits, which is for all body types, super yummy and comfortable to wear. So that'll be great. That'll be a part of the gift bag among a ton of other things. You might want to bring an extra suitcase.
I know. I would actually probably.
Yeah.
We have like custom candles. We have face stuff. We have sun care. We have makeup from Beauty Counter. We have face masks. We have skinny dipped almonds, Primal Kitchen, and tons and tons and tons of others. So get ready.
Yeah, get ready. But yeah, we're really, really excited. Hopefully this is the first of more.
Yeah.
I don't know many, but you know. More. but we can't wait to meet you on tour as well. We will be touring until the end of the year. So check our schedule, almost30podcast.com/tour. Been really fun so far.
Yeah, it's been a blast. I cannot wait to see you guys in person. It's been one of the most fulfilling things of my life.
Truly, truly. Fellow new podcaster on the podcast today, Kat Sadler, who was previously a host for many years on E! And just an overall really inspiring woman who has stood up for what she believes in and is now starting her own podcast called Naked, which we are really excited about. Raw, real conversations with women, fascinating women in her bedroom.
Yeah. And she's so authentic and real and cool. And it's funny when we have guests like Kat on where I have such clear, vivid memories of them from that point. So, you know, now that I've met her and I know her, I can just remember every time I've seen her on E!, every time I've seen her on the red carpet or on TV so, so clearly. And she is as bright and shiny in person as she is on TV. And I was just so excited and blown away by her.
Yeah, I think you guys are really going to enjoy this conversation. It's funny. It's inspiring. She gets really real about a lot of things, not only her time at E!, but she's a mom as well. And so she's really very transparent about it all, which we really appreciate and learn from. You could check out thecatwalk.com, thecatwalk.com. That's her website. It's a place where you can find the podcast, her YouTube channel. You can shop. There's fashion inspiration, mood, lifestyle, all the things. And she's a beautiful writer.
Yeah. And she spoke about us in the Hollywood Reporter recently, which was breathtaking.
So nice. Thank you, Kat.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It was during a week where I was feeling like a little alone in what I'm doing. And it was just a nice reminder that I don't always need to be doing something for someone to recognize me. You know, it doesn't always need to be that I am doing something for them, that they will do something for me. And so to just have her mention us along with Goop and Oprah Super Soul in the Hollywood Reporter interview about her new podcast was just so heartwarming. And I'm so grateful and have so much gratitude for her in shouting us out. It meant a lot to both of us.
She was super open and honest about her time at E! When in particular she spoke up and left E! Because her co-host was being paid, her male co-host was being paid more than double what she was making. So it was headline news, which in itself is a stressful situation, but she made a statement and it's something that we really look to. And when we want to have these harder conversations and stand up for what we believe in, women like her, we use as expanders in that way.
Yeah. And I've said this before, but she wouldn't need to, if she did stick with E! And she still was making, you know, a third of what her co-host was, she wouldn't need to tell anyone. And no one would have known if she would have kept the same contract, even though they weren't going to honor the same amount that her co-host was being paid with the same amount of experience. So the fact that she did choose to stand up against it, to stand out and to stand up for equal pay rights for women in such a public setting in the entertainment reporting industry is huge. So we honor her for that. And she got tons of badass points in my books for doing that. So she is doing work right now with the pay wage difference for women. And that is a lot of her story and her mission.
Love her. All right. Enjoy this episode. If you love it, share with your friends, rate and review on iTunes if you're called to. And we will talk more about it in the group and we'll share a review on the other side of this episode. Thank you for everything. We love you and enjoy.
Enjoy.
Calling all health nuts. We got the nut for you. Skinny Dip, you know them. You know we love them. And I will tell you till I'm blue in the face that this sweet snack is healthy. It's full of protein, fiber, and made with the most thoughtful organic ingredients. And it's super simple. So it's nothing scary. You don't have to wonder like what is in this thing. It's just delicious and slightly addicting. They're now in most airports, which I love so much. And we've gotten so many tags on Instagram of people finding them in airports and being like, I found it, almost 30. I'm trying the peanut butter. Yeah. Which is my favorite. I'm also loving their new mint flavor in the dark purple packaging, which is just so gorgeous. This snack is something that we bring with us on the road before our workout, before a show, after a show, a little sweet treat, whatever you want. We trust them. We love them. We had the founders of Skinny Dipped on the show not too long ago. Check out that episode. It's a super inspiring story. And they created this empire out of nothing. And it's a female owned and founded company. So you know we love that and are inspired by them constantly. So go to skinnydipped.com, SKINNYDIPPED.com. Use the code ALMOST30 for 20% off your first order. I would recommend buying in bulk. This is a very smart move. You can give it to people as little gifts. It's a perfect summer snack to bring to the beach. I recommend putting them in the freezer before that, bringing them to the beach and they'll be slightly defrosted and just delicious. But yeah, let us know what you love. SkinnyDip.com. Use the code ALMOST30 for 20% off your order. Yeah, do you get any like mommy? Like
shame?
Shame?
Mommy shit?
You know what? Not really. But I think that's probably because, back to my point, I don't do a lot of mom shares and my kids are older. I mean, when my kids were young, Instagram didn't exist. They're 14 and 18.
So, dude, what? 18?
Yeah, 18.
Dang.
So in many ways, I'm like so jealous. So many of my friends are having kids. They have toddlers, they have younger kids. And I watch their feeds and I'm like, oh, that's so cute. And oh, they're at the party or they're at the beach or they're doing all these amazing things. And my kids are so void from all of that.
Yeah.
But no. So I guess the answer is I don't really. I mean, the interesting thing is anytime I tend to talk about raising teenagers or I don't do it often and it won't include a picture of them today, but I get a huge response from other parents raising teens today. That seems to be the mom topic that comes back again and again.
I mean, I'm sure it's such a changing landscape. I was listening to a really good podcast with Rich Roll, and there was an author and psychologist, and she does a lot of work on teen girls. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the information was applicable for teen boys too, and just like how to navigate that. And especially in the digital age with everything that's changing, it's like there's conversations that are being had that have never been had before with parents.
Yeah.
You know, about pornography, about like Instagram, about Facebook. It's just like such an interesting and uniquely challenging time.
Very well said. I think there's no manual. It's like we're in this unknown territory. How do you navigate it every day? It's very scary, A, for parents, but you really empathize with the kids today. And a lot of people are like, oh, it's always been hard to be a teenager. But I really do feel like there's this extra layer or extra layers of challenges. And it is, I would say the origin of that is social media. I mean, my kids have friends over all the time. And it's like, I have to get them out of their phones. I'm like, do you even see how cute she is? She's 10 feet away from you. Like, you're not even talking to her. And they'll be talking, but like on their phones in front of one another. I'm like, is this real life right now? Is this really happening?
Probably talking about you.
Yeah, probably. That's probably true. Actually, like, when's she leaving?
Yeah. I was listening to Dr. Shivali. She's on Oprah a lot. But anyway, they were talking about parenting and just like how much of the work of parenting is the work on yourself. And like the children will just unfold and bloom, for lack of a better term, in the wake of that, rather than impressing upon them kind of like what you didn't have or what you didn't fulfill. Like, do you see, like, are your children a mirror in any way?
I've never heard that, but that makes a lot of sense. Well, that's some of the best advice I ever got was from therapists and from experts that I've talked to, is just mirror to them what you want them to see. That's the best.
Yeah.
The best example you can give them is just how you conduct yourself, how, you know, how you stay even, how you're not high and so low. And, you know, because it can be very emotional, as you know, at this age, sure, with hormones. And you remember how we all were, yes, you know, it's already hard, right? So that is good advice. It's just, I think as a parent, at least for me personally, I'm always second guessing myself because it's just like, where's the line, you know, with the discipline? How much leeway do you give them? How do you continue to have them talking to you and telling you everything? You know, it's just, it's a constant like tug on almost doubting yourself because you don't want to fuck your kids up, you know? So
I feel that too, you know, I don't have kids, but I feel that even in running a business and like the way I navigate life. So it's almost like, I wonder if it's like a feminine thing too. And especially for you as, you know, I don't know if you're in a relationship right now, but I know that you parent your boys. Mm-hmm. And so it's not, you know, I'm not sure if you have that consistent like person where you're like, am I doing this right? You know, with like a partner that you have all the time where you're like, is this how we do this? Is this how I should do this?
Well, I'll take that even one step further. I have a really beautiful situation in that their father and I, we divorced in 2007, you know, eons ago when they were little. But I always like to say, I joke that we consciously uncoupled before Gwyneth and Chris because we had a very beautiful dissolve.
I like that.
And he's amazing. Yeah. And we were co-parenting from like the get-go. So on the one hand, that's amazing because I hear from them all the time and their friends and their teachers like, bravo, you guys are like, you know, there isn't the drama that so many divorced families go through. But because I'm so close with my ex-husband and we are in contact every single day about them, it's like we're not married. So therefore, we're not always on the same page. And now that we've grown apart personally, you know, their dad wants to do things one way. I feel about it this way. And so there is a divide. So that almost is a layer of complication that I never predicted would be a thing. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where he's like, I want to be more military and I want to draw the line. And I'm like, okay, just calm down. You know, I have a certain way. So we do butt heads on that sometimes. But I think if it was my actual husband living under the same roof, we would find a way to come at them or hear them
together.
Right. Yeah.
And it might be like, you could be like, okay, this triggers me. I want to tap out. You know, but with you, when it's just you in the household and it's him in the household separately, it's like, you're having yours. And then if there is doubt and then he's having his and you're like, okay, well, you kind of need to know what he's doing too. I mean, that can be so complicated. What do you do to like, do you have conversations with him first? Like, this is a topic that we should be aware of and that we should communicate to our sons, or what's that like?
Yeah, we do. He's really great at it. I have to give him so much praise. I mean, he and I both just pick up the phone. We're in contact a lot. And it's like, okay, hold up. Wait a minute. What happened? What do you think? Well, here's what I think. We just, to give you an example, just this weekend, poor Austin, 18-year-old. But I was like, Austin, your dad and I want to have lunch with you. He's like, oh God, you know, oh, what do you want? You know, what's it about? I was like, you know, and honestly, I do have family meetings. You know, usually it's in one room in the house.
When Can't
it's like,
wait for those.
Yeah, I know, we have to come together and have serious conversations. But I was like, you know, we don't get to do this very often. Your dad's coming. We have to talk about college. We have to talk about this. We have to talk. And it's funny because it kind of did spiral into what he was paranoid it would be, which is like a whole coming at him about like real life responsibilities, et cetera, et cetera. He's 18. He's an adult. Like all these things are so pressing on him at this stage of his life that you can't not talk about them. But, you know, he was a little extra sensitive. But at the end of the day, I don't know how else you go about it. His dad and I were on the same page. We wanted to talk to him. We come together. We did it over a burger and fries. Like it was all good, but that's just real life. But, mm-hmm. and you're just still dealing with, you know, still hormones at that age. And
I think it's so beautiful
unknown,
though,
you know,
for you guys to like come together to be so collaborative in your parenting. I know that's always the goal, you know, if you do separate, but like, to actually practice that in front of your kids is just like such a gift for them that they don't realize is a gift yet. But I can just imagine like later, you know, they'll look back on this time and it's just, I don't know. It's just in a different form. You still have a relationship, you know, like it's just not a marriage, but it is still just such a deep relationship. So I think that's beautiful.
Well, thank you. I think that was born out of both of us being the children of divorce where that was so not a thing. And I think we were deeply affected by that growing up. So we both like instantly were like, all right, listen, if the marriage part is over, the parenting part doesn't have to be over, shouldn't be over. And here's how we want to do this. I mean, I could take that one step further and say that his wife is a very dear friend of mine. We worked together, but she too consciously said, you know, like she wouldn't have been a part of the equation if she wasn't on board with how this was going to be progressive and loving and, you know, one big family. And that doesn't mean it's easy, but she also made a choice to say, okay, I'm going to be this kind of stepmom. I'm going to still let you guys do this for the kids. It's been really, really great.
Wow. That's huge. Did you guys do that on your own or with therapist help?
It's funny because I remember this so clearly when Austin was, I think, like 7 or 8, he was having a birthday party and it was the first time Kyle and I had been divorced for like a year, maybe. He was like, he asked me again, very respectfully. He was like, I've been seeing this girl for several months. Can she come to the birthday party? And I was like, yeah, thank you for asking. And by the way, I would much prefer him to be seeing someone seriously than a flavor of the week every other, you know, with the kids going over there, all that. So I was like, great. Yes, I'd love to meet her. And all my girlfriends were, of course, like, oh my God, you're going to meet
her. Dude, when girls chime in, you know, you got to be
like, who is she? Oh my God, she's coming. Oh my God. Did you see her? Oh my God. You know, it was like one of those. And I was much younger then, but she, from day one, I have told this story a couple times, but you know, it was time to cut the cake. It was the birthday party. And I was like, I'm cutting the cake. Do you want to scoop the ice cream? She came over and that was it. It was like team. It was team. And she's been phenomenal ever since. Like not a single instance. I'm not even exaggerating. Wow. So she is a beautiful human.
Oh.
I don't know what she says about me behind closed doors, but I'm kidding.
But it does take, you know, I can imagine, I haven't been married or been divorced, but it's like, I can imagine that like, you really have to put your ego aside in those moments. Like one of you's going to get married first, remarried first, or have a relationship first. It's just such an interesting thing to think about. I'm also wondering like at that time, like what was going on career-wise and how were you able to balance that and really like navigate as gracefully as possible.
You know, I remember because just for the record, I have been married twice and divorced twice, but this was my first divorce. And this was through, you know, obviously my kids were small and it was a much more kind of devastating season in my life. But at the time, you know, I was on E and I was on camera every single day and I was hosting a show every single day. And I like to say that in many ways, I mean, work really saved me in that it was not an option to stay in bed. It was not an option to drink wine all day. It was not an option to do all the things that most of us would be compelled to do at a time like that. So work was good for me in many, many ways because I could just, the light would go on and I would have to be Kat and I would have to report on the Kardashians and do all the things that I had to do. At the same time, looking back, you know, I don't know how healthy that was because I've throughout my career, that's always been a coping mechanism that I can just turn it on and turn it off and turn it on because you can't have bad days when you're on TV every single day. So I survived. I like to say, you know, definitely have that soldier gene in me where it was like, show's got to go on, life's got to go on and no pity party here. Like you have two kids to raise. So kind of always had that kind of wiring. So it was okay.
Yeah.
And I started dating again. It was great.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Did it ever feel like within the business that there was a pressure to kind of not being vulnerable about what was going on in your life. Not that you should bring everything to work, but I'm just curious as to like the structure of, you know, the world that you're in TV. Like, yeah. What does that feel like when you are going through something that's so hard? Like, I'm sure your, you know, co-hosts were amazing, but just like on a higher level, like them looking down and putting pressure on you.
Right. You know, it's interesting because back then, some, you know, during that really transformative time in my life, Twitter was just barely born. So wow. It wasn't at a time when you were on IG stories all day, like, yeah. I feel bad and I'm having a down day. Like, it just wasn't like a share world like it is now. My coworkers were very supportive and whatnot. But at the time, that particular show was so straightforward. It was just pop culture. It was just, you know, the housewives and what was going on in pop culture news. So there really wasn't a space for it to be about me at all, to be honest. That changed though, when, you know, the last year that I was at E, I did a show called Daily Pop, and that was live and that was 2 hours. And that was not scripted, very barely scripted. So it was a point of view show and it was share your life story. And it was very additive and they very much wanted you to crack it all open and let it all hang out and, you know, connect with the audience over certain issues and whatnot. So I feel pretty good in that space. It's interesting. I feel like I almost garnered more fans through a show like that, where it is more real, right? It's more authentic and everybody goes through stuff, right? So the minute you say, oh, you know, I'm going through this breakup, or oh, this happened, or oh, I lost my dad, or whatever it is, I think, you know, and again, it brings it back to, I'm sure what you guys are doing right now and what I'm doing on my own podcast, like people, when they feel connected to others' experiences, everybody feels more comfortable in their own skin, I think. So I've never really shied away from sharing. It's a little more difficult for me because I am a journalist and an interviewer. So I'm way better at asking you guys the questions than sitting here and answering them. But I'm getting better at it. I'm getting much more comfortable being vulnerable like that.
Yeah, you're going to crush the podcast. That is what's amazing about the podcast, is that it provides a space for the honesty and the vulnerability. It's interesting too, to think about, like, yeah, I was kind of thinking about that trajectory. It's like nowadays, if you were still on, you might have to address the divorce publicly. You know, there's something too, like the more you share with your audience, you know, if you're sharing on stories, if you're sharing on the podcast, like once you get on the podcast space and you're sharing very vulnerably all the time, it's almost like you owe them to be honest and vulnerable. So sometimes it's really challenging to find the line.
Right.
To find the line of like, what is something that I don't want to share, when you've shared, you know, stuff about your divorce or stuff about your family or stuff about your, you know, your parents or whatever it is. So once you've shared so much of you, it's almost like they assume you've shared everything and you probably haven't, or you're planning to or whatever. So it's like a really fuzzy area now with how much people are sharing and how much people have access to you.
Right. It is. I completely agree with you and understand that. And the other component is, it's not that I am particularly private at all. I'm like a farm girl from Indiana. Like, I've always had a big personality. Like, I'm what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
But like, for example, going through a really bad breakup or something, for me, it's not even that I'm afraid to share. It's that I actually care about people's feelings. And like, if there's another person in the variable, I'm really careful. Like, that's, I already kind of made the mistake of going on another podcast and saying more than I probably should. And then I just felt bad, mm-hmm. because I'm like, he didn't really deserve that. Maybe he did deserve it, actually. but you know, you do, human beings are involved in these stories and everybody has feelings. And this is a very, you know, the reach on these types of shows are vast, as you know, when you're so popular like you guys. So you do have to, I like to be very conscious of that. Mm-hmm. It's not just about me all the time.
Yeah. And it's just I always remember it's my perspective. Mm-hmm. So like, they have another side and I just have the microphone and the ability to share it. You know,
right.
I wanted to talk about that, for being from Indiana. I'm from Ohio.
Midwest
gals for life. Corn country forever. I looked at IU. I was really hungover that day. And I think that's why I didn't choose to go there.
You would have fit right in.
I know.
It's so funny. Those little things just like steered us away. Rainy day. Not gonna go here.
Honestly, I'm out. Yeah. My mom said about College of Charleston. She's like, it's mostly girls. I'm like, I'm not going there.
Where did you go?
I went to Miami.
Of Ohio?
Of Ohio.
Oh, yeah. That's where my best friend Katie went there.
Really?
I spent a lot of time on campus there during college because she was there and you could drink there early, right?
Did you not at IU?
Well, no, you had to be 21 though. Oh, you had to be 21 at IU to drink.
Wait, why not 21 but at Miami?
In Miami, Ohio, didn't you have to only be 18? You could go in bars at 18.
Maybe, I bet.
Back you could then, go bars. It was you way before you. Yes, that was what it was. Yes. You could not go in a bar in Indiana unless you were 21. So,
but you guys had Greek houses.
Oh, yeah, we didn't.
We weren't allowed to.
A lot of you have been asking about my skin lately, so I've been pretty transparent about my struggle with acne. I know a lot of you deal with it, so I figured I'd update you on a skincare routine that's really working for me right now. Dermalogica has done it right, and I really trust them and am seeing results. So I'm just going to tell you what I'm using. Special cleansing gel I use every morning and every night. It's really gentle and effective. And then I use the Daily Microfoliant, which is a cult favorite. To be honest, it takes off the dead skin cells on the surface of your skin without irritating it too much. So I don't know if your dad's ever used the apricot scrub on their face. That is not good. So the Daily Microfoliant twice a week for me really helps to prevent breakouts. I then use the multi-active toner to even out my porosity on my skin. And it also just helps the other products absorb better. And then after the toner, I use the Biolumin C, which is a miracle product. It's a serum. It's a high performance vitamin C serum that works with skin's own defenses to brighten and firm the skin. So it's anti-aging for sure, but also repairs damaged skin. And I'm obsessed with it. So those are the products I am using right now. So I'd love for you to check out Dermalogica.com. You can do a skin mapping, which is super interesting. The app collects information and photos of your face and skin, along with descriptions of skin health, conditions, concerns, and then they'll give you some product recommendations, which is so spot on. So Dermalogica.com, use the code ALMOST30 for 20% off your first order. That's Dermalogica, DermalogiCA.com. Use the code ALMOST30 for 20% off. I have a summer tip for you all that is very unexpected, but super helpful. If you wear contacts, you know the stress and the worry that creeps up every once in a while when you haven't renewed your contact lenses and you don't have any more left and you're leaving for, you know, your trip to Timbuktu tomorrow for summer vacation. It's really stressful. And Simple Contacts has totally taken away that stress for me. It is the most convenient way to renew your contact lens prescriptions and reorder your brand of contacts from anywhere in minutes. And it's super, super easy. So if you need to renew your prescription, you take the 5-minute Simple Contacts vision test online. It'll be reviewed by a licensed doctor. You receive a renewed prescription and reorder your contacts right there. All you need is your current contacts, an internet connection, and 10 feet of space for that vision test. And even if you're totally out of contacts, they've got an option for you. And if you have an unexpired prescription, just upload a photo or your doctor's information and order your lenses. It's super easy. It's so convenient. It's fast. It's super, super fast. It's reliable. So, you know, it's designed by doctors and licensed ophthalmologists, and they review every test, which is great. And the service is just stellar. And there's tons of choices for contacts that they have all the brands and types of lenses you're familiar with. So you never have to shop around to find your lenses at the best prices, and it saves you money. The vision test is only $20. I do have to say that this isn't a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. So I'll repeat, this is not a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam, but this is great for renewing your contact lenses. And we're so excited to offer you $20 off at simplecontacts.com/almost. So that's simplecontacts.com/almost for $20 off.
So coming from Indiana and moving to LA, like there's a lot of people that wanted the jobs that you had, that wanted to be in the space that you were, that wanted to be doing what you were doing. And you had the dream job, as you said, and which I want to talk about, you know, that transition before, but what was it about you that made you successful? Like, what was it about your personality or like your tenacity?
Wow. That's a great question. It might be a combination. First of all, thank you for saying that I was successful. You know, it's always relative and everybody has their own version. You know, we're still never quite there. But I think how I secured the job that I did, to your point, that every girl around the globe would have given a left arm. Yes. Not every girl, sorry, not every girl wants to be a TV host. But anyway, I think a lot of it had to do with, as cheesy as this sounds, true kind of universal purpose that I think I was always kind of called to be, I hate to say on television, but to be in a position with some reach and use my voice to perhaps tell stories, important stories, not just the entertainment side of things, but also timing. I think when I got, I had been in local news for 10 plus years prior to getting to national television. And so, by the way, there's another key part of that experience, 10 years of local news, but the timing was right. I mean, by the time I got the job nationally, you know, there used to kind of be the stigma like, oh, a mom was one way, right? Like she's a mom. And that, there were so many like stigmas attached to that. And it was at the time when Angelina Jolie was having 8 kids and Heidi Klum had all these babies and the celebrity mom thing really became like this fascination. Or there was a fascination with it. And so, you know, timing, it was like everything kind of worked out. I was a mom of 2 at this point. I was still living in Indiana. I had jumped around. I was in San Francisco for a while and I was in LA for a minute. But by the time I had 2 kids, I was back doing local news in Indianapolis. And I got the itch, you know, like so many people do. I was watching E! At home. I was like, I was just so convinced that I could do it. I just, it was that kind of just of a feeling. I was like, I've done this. Why don't I do it then? I could do that. You know, one of those things. And so it is the sense of belief also. And I told my agent at the time, I just said, you know, what if we just, you know, dig around a little, set up some meetings and see what happens? Like, could I secure a job in Hollywood doing entertainment reporting? Because that really was my passion. My background was arts and entertainment. I was in musicals. I was in a band. I loved film and fashion and all that stuff. And 3 months later, I got the job. But at the time, they said to me, because they were casting a show called The Daily 10 way back when, and they just really liked the fact that I was a mother. So at the time, you know, 10 years prior, not 10, 5 years prior, when I was pregnant with Austin, people were saying, oh, she's going to not do TV anymore. She's going to take a year off and go be a mom. And that's that. And I was like, no, 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 no. You know, I already knew, like sometimes you just know, right? Like I just knew having kids when I did was the right thing. And when I got the job on E, I had 2 kids. I was the least likely person to get that job, but I did have 10 years under my belt at the time. And I did get in that audition and I felt like I deserved the job because I was auditioning with a bunch of national faces, people I was sitting at home watching on TV. I was an absolute nobody, but I was like, hold on. After I got in the room, I was like, oh, I'm as good as that. You know, it was the experience that served me at that time. And then it all just kind of worked out, I guess, as it was supposed to.
Yeah. It's crazy. I think people forget about the 10 years local. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? People want to go straight from nothing to E! News mm-hmm. and like 10 years and local news is not
super, a joke.
It's not super glam.
Oh, not remotely.
And it's not a joke.
Well, you know what? That was the other beautiful part of that story and that season of my life is I felt like I kind of earned it. It was a nice feeling because it was like, I did get up at 3 a.m. and do a morning show for 4 years. I did, like, I was trying to nurse a baby and drive to work and dress myself and do my own makeup and book my own stories and edit my own pieces. Like, I definitely paid my dues. Wow. So then when you get there and you get like the dream job.
Did it feel easy in a way? Like, was it kind of like, oh, like I've worked my muscles. Like they kind of know how to do this and you can kind of settle in.
You mean the work itself?
Yeah. Like, I don't think the work itself is easy, but almost because you were the writer, you did your own makeup, you did the wardrobe, you did all the things first. And then you were kind of stepping into more of a machine.
Yeah.
That was
Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. I'll never forget. I had traveled to LA and New York doing, you know, local news, both in San Francisco and in Indianapolis. And I would do these movie junkets, if you guys know what those are, New York, LA, or whatever. And I remember I went a couple times to Disneyland. You know, they have the big premieres or the big, what's the Johnny Depp?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Thank you. And I remember, oh my God, it was P.S. Like that was my all-time crush growing up. Like I just was so obsessed with Johnny Depp. I never, ever thought I would actually meet him. Then I met, I know that's a whole,
met him and you're like,
topic.
Quite the crush.
The other topic. I'm like, he wasn't like that then. Anyway, but I remember being on that line with, I kid you not, 100 reporters, like the longest red line at Disneyland, like red carpet line ever. And I remember being at the very end, a little local reporter from Indianapolis. And I remember seeing Orlando Bloom walk by and Johnny Depp, and like you hold out your mic and you're like, please, please, just one question. You know, I did that forever. You don't have a rep, you don't have a Wrangler, you don't have. So yes, to answer your question, by the time I got to E, I want to say the first year that I was there, we did a 30-minute live half-hour special from Disneyland on a platform with like the exclusive first position. And I had a crew of 8 people around me and it was out of body. I mean, I'll never forget it because it was just like, wow. So yes, it felt
so supportive.
It felt too easy because I'm like, I just stand here and wait for somebody to come over and then they know they're talking to me and they want to talk to me. This is amazing. And somebody's in my ear telling me what to say when I can't think of anything to say. This is awesome.
How do you do that? Like, how does that work? So you're like, hello.
What's that earpiece called?
IFB.
Does it confuse you ever?
Well, it's a training. It's an experience thing where over the years, you just get very used to talking, listening, and listening to the person next to you and listening to the person in your ear and talking at the same time. So it is a skill. So, you know, for the people who've never done it and you watch TV and you're like, that's easy. Like it's really is, there is an art to it and it is mostly just doing it again and again and again. But, I was just going to say that not every producer is so good at it because there is a bit of an art with like a producer in a booth who's supposed to talk to you. For example, you and I are sitting here right now. I ask you a question, you start to answer. That's when they're supposed to come in my ear. Mm. So I don't have 3 things out. What I just described is kind of the worst case scenario. So there is an art to it and not everybody is as good at it. I'll never forget. And this is another kind of embarrassing story, but I was covering the Oscars one year and I was at the Governor's Ball and that's also live, which is a whole other thing. Because if you mess up, you know, there are no do-overs. And Russell Brand was on his way into the party.
Love him.
I love him too.
Obsessed.
Do you listen to his podcast?
Yes.
Number one. I know. He's amazing. But he had just gotten sober around that time. And when you are live and you're on TV and you have a minimum of 30 people coming your direction, you know, all Oscar winners and big directors and high pressure situations, and you're live on TV and you're trying to be cute and funny and to have your lip gloss on and you can't breathe in your dress.
I mean,
and then you're listening to the producer in your ear, and I'll never forget this. One producer was like, Russell's right over there. Ask him, you know, if he's going to have a glass of champagne, something. Like he was just joking around. I was like, Janet, and it was horrific. I literally did one of those where I just repeated what he said because he said it and I was thinking of 10 things and I was like, I literally had a physical producer standing next to me who was already telling me about the next person in line. So, you know, you've got 10 things going on in your brain and I just blurted out what he said and I'll never forget. Like Russell kind of like looked at me and then kind of like blew me off and went into the party. He wasn't standing right in front of me, but it was like enough of a moment. And Twitter like chewed me up. I mean, understandably, like not that bad, but people were like, oh, that's really nice. Ask the sober guy if he's going for champagne. I was like, I know.
Oh my God.
It's horrible. Anyway, I hadn't thought about that one in a long time.
We wanted to make sure that we relive those moments. Yeah. What do you do when like you're so public? So everything, like all your mistakes are so public, like I have a hard time listening to myself and that's, I'm not seeing myself. How have you been able to like make sure that your self-talk is positive where you feel good about, you know, the way you're presenting the self, the way you look on TV?
a great question. You know, I joke with my friends, a lot of whom were and are like makeup artists or stylists because, you know, we've been in the business and that's who you, you know, gravitate to. And, you know, we've raised our kids together. And we always kind of joke, we're like, we're crazy. You like, you can't not be crazy. You watch yourself on TV. You're your worst critic. Like you have to see that every day. You can literally go crazy. So I think there was a period in time when I probably was far more self-conscious about that. I think that was at a time though, when I still felt like I was proving myself or I deserved the job or I hadn't been there that long where I just felt less stable. Mm-hmm. I think that went away over time and just, I'm sure that comes with age also. And we're in such a period of self-help and I am very much on board with that. So I do a lot of work. I'm going to have my cat formations. I do daily affirmations. I do hot yoga. Like I'm constantly working out my mental and my emotional and my physical to just try to be tip top every single day. But of course I'm human like anybody else. And you know, you read those, that one comment on mm-hmm. Instagram and that like it, you know, I don't even know if it eats at me. I feel like the need to respond and I practice resistance to doing that most days. But, I've been pretty lucky. I don't think people care about me that much, to be honest. I don't get like a lot of hate. So it's kind of nice. I mean, yeah. You know,
there's like nothing to hate, but yeah, it's like, I even saw your YouTube, like reading your assumptions about me. Catch me never doing that. I would literally never do that. Cause they'd be like, you wake up late and I'd be like, oh my God. You know,
you're like, right.
I literally
setting my alarm now.
I know I'd be so.
Oh, well that's terrible by the way. You should be so ashamed.
I know.
Of yourself. How dare you?
That I is like. I can't even say any something that would make me feel insecure. Cause I'd be so like, upset. Like I'd be like, it would be very challenging for me if I had an insecurity and someone validated it that they saw it. That would kill me. Mm. You know? So when you did that, I was like, oh, that's so like baller. Like,
why would just it like, kill you? Like, why do you think that is?
Yeah, that's a good question. Kat, this isn't your answer. yeah, well, I mean, I think
do you know what I mean? It's a single person with a single opinion.
Well, sometimes people, I feel like sometimes people pick up.
Depends on the day, pick too, to be up honest. On, right. Some days I'm like, fuck it. I don't literally care. And some days I'm like, please tell me more.
Yeah.
Some people can pick up on like an insecurity in someone else and then it gets them off to call it. Totally. Because they probably have either a similar insecurity or an insecurity in general that like maybe was triggered recently. Like, who knows? It's kind of like a weird cycle of energy on the internet.
Yo,
you know what I mean?
Big time, big time.
I'd love to know too, like, I mean, you were made for this and I feel like you're just so deeply connected to, you know, what this path right now is for you. Like, what is your spiritual life like? You know, like, how do you stay on that path? Because I'm sure you have a lot of shiny objects, you know, in front of you where it's like, do this show or do this opportunity, partner with this brand or whatever it is. Like, how do you, because you are so fucking normal. Like you're just like, and here in LA, I feel like you can just, you tell when people are themselves and they really haven't been too affected. So like, how do you stay the course in that way? True to yourself.
That is a great question. And thank you. That's so nice when you said I'm made for this. That's so nice. See, we're all still looking for validation. Like, oh, I am great. Thanks.
Yeah.
You know what has served me very, very well is that I feel like I am very in tune with my compass, my just that feeling. Because over time and through life and living and experiences and the good and the bad, I've gotten much, much better at kind of fine-tuning that inner compass where this is what I should be doing and this is what I shouldn't be doing. And I am as guilty as everybody as lying to myself or staying in a relationship too long, even though it feels terrible or all the red flags are there or a job maybe like you've done longer than you should have or you're kind of selling your soul or whatever it is. And I don't know. It's funny. I just maybe like even turning 40, I feel like in the last 5 years, I just have carved out the bullshit and I'm not, like I don't have, I wouldn't be serving myself and I wouldn't be any good to anybody else if I wasn't really in tune with what is right for me. I'm like a worse mom if I'm like often doing something I shouldn't be doing. It's like it just takes you away from being on that frequency, not to sound too meta, mm-hmm. but like I believe that shit. Like right now, yeah. I am in this phase where I have been making some really difficult but important decisions professionally and personally. And every time I even if it's hard, make a decision that I know is the right decision, maybe not the easy decision, but I know is right, I literally, in the hours within my day, feel the rewards from that. I actually do. It's like all that stuff we read, and I do read a lot, and I meditate now. I didn't, you know, forever. Like, that's a new thing for me in the last couple of years. But the more you are working out like that, I feel like it's just another form of working ourselves out. Like, it's the formula, it doesn't lie, right? Like, if you are thinking good thoughts, if you're manifesting and believing your worth and you're putting good into the world and you're loving people, everybody, even the people that are harder to love, like, everything just starts aligning and I can't ignore it. Like, so I'm like, why would I go do that if this is what happens when I do that? I feel worse. I don't like myself. I second guess myself. My, you know, all that comes with not living your truth. And that was the biggest thing that people ask me a lot about, the whole leaving Eve thing and making that decision. I was at this point where I was like, I cannot fake it. I can't, if I had to go back to work every single day and under it all be bitter and be resentful and be, you know, have some chip on my shoulder, I wouldn't. Who can live like that? Like, I can't. I can't, because I literally get sick. Same. Physically ill. Do you know?
Yeah. Oh, I know.
And have a stink ass face the whole day too.
And I think you're right. Like, the universe will reward you if you follow that feeling. Like, it happens like that. So it's, I think, you know, using your platform too in that way, just, you know, other women, whether they're, you know, in a profession like you or not, like, seeing you follow that feeling and standing in that truth, like, was so powerful. I mean, I know you know that, but I'm just like, that is so powerful to have a platform and make that decision. And even though it was a hard one, and I'm sure you got a lot of, you know, criticism for it for one way or another, but the impact is so much greater than that.
Well, and thanks. And listen, it was because of other women that I, you know, so much of that decision was, yes, listening to, you know, what I knew and believed at my core was the right thing for me and the right thing from a principle standpoint. But it was also the women that came before me. You know, there is this domino effect. That's why I love women so much. It's like, I look to so many other women who were doing that and were using their voice and were like, just taking a stand or taking a leap of faith and a risk. You know, I might not ever be cast in a movie again, or I might, you know, get blacklisted. And I'm like, well, they did it, you know? And so, yeah.
Remind me what year it was.
It was December of 2017. It was basically the beginning of last year.
So I was thinking too, I'm like, do you feel like since then the conversation has amplified even more about equal pay and about, you know, it's almost like, I wonder if there would be even more of an energetic backlash and conversation around it, just as the Trump presidency has, you know, evolved and unraveled too. People are way more angry. People are way more apt to speak their truth and have the conversation. So it's almost like you were at the very beginning of it. And, you know, I think people would be much more angry about it. And I mean, I know 100% they were. And I just remember when I first heard about it, I was so shocked. And I was so...
Which part? What
I was shocked about the pay. And I was shocked that you left, to be honest. I thought that was so baller. Like, I thought that was so baller that you left. Like, because I didn't really know that in that situation or circumstance that, first of all, that would be such a great disparity between your pay. And second of all, that they wouldn't take the opportunity to
Get right.
to make it right.
And then third, that did they, I guess, did they not think you would say something about it or what was, yeah, they didn't think you'd speak up. And the fact that you left and you did speak up, which I think is so baller.
Oh my God, that was the scariest day of my life.
I can't even imagine.
What was the first step? Like, what was the first outlet that you talked with?
Ooh, that was the scariest day of my life. There were so many different like phases of how that came to that moment. But, you know, I didn't speak with an outlet. It leaked. And that is a true story. What happened was, I left my final day on air. I want to say it was like December 20th. I said goodbye on the two shows I did a day, back to the point of I was working my ass off. And I couldn't say why. Listen, I don't even know that they knew I was leaving, but it wasn't like I went in and said, you guys are discriminating. And it was just like, here's what he's making. Here's what I should be making. Here's what he's making. And it was like, not going to get there. Not going to get the writing was on the wall. So my decision was made for me. So many things happened behind closed doors, but it was like, let's throw you a party. Let's do it. They wanted all this kind of celebratory departure. And I was like, that's okay. I was so upset on the inside without having, because I mean, there are legalities involved. And I had attorneys going, be careful. And like, you know, it's like, you can't just throw that stuff around lightly with a huge corporation like that. So I just said, I just want to say goodbye. I just want to say goodbye to the viewers because I owe them that after 12 years. And I just want to thank them, to be honest, for hanging out with me and caring about me and following me or whatever it is. And so I said goodbye those two shows. But of course, I already had my blog post on my website written. I'd been writing it for couple weeks, just what do I want to say? How do I want to say it? I felt like I owed the truth to people and I just wanted to share it and then move on with my life. And by that night, I think it was, I want to say it was either Page Six or Us Weekly or both simultaneously. They're like, she left over a pay disparity issue, da, 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 da. And I really don't have any idea how exactly that leaked. I mean, I had been talking confidentially with a handful of people about what to do, how to do it, what's the best way, you know. And I think there was a little thinking that, yeah, okay, it might be in the news for a day, you know, but it'll go away. It won't cause any headaches for anybody. I really think that was the perception. And by the way, you know, I didn't do it for that reason, obviously. Again, it was all just based in principle, what I knew I had to do for my life and my kids and my future and how I wanted to spend the next several years of my life. And I knew what I didn't want. I knew what I did want. And so anyway, as soon as those outlets picked it up, then I posted my blog because I did want it to come from me and I did want it to be, you know, my position and, you know, my story. So but then it just kind of spiraled. And that was, to your point and bringing all that up, it was before Time's Up. So Me Too was very much in motion. And I had been reporting on a lot of those stories for 6 months. And again, that's what I was like, she's saying that and she's doing that against that powerful person and that movie studio and all that was kind of happening. And so I kind of felt obligated. It was kind of like, no. Like not now, not this 20 years in, you know, I'm not, no, I'll just go work somewhere else. You know, I'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. So, but then Time's Up was born about 10 days after that. So there, it was like, again, back to the timing of your life. It was just a little bit, you know, the conversation was just starting to be had.
If you're experiencing any issues related to your gut health, we have the answer for you. Silverfern brand is our go-to for digestive enzymes, for your ultimate probiotic. They actually also have a prebiotic and probiotic plant-based protein powder that we love. They are just so knowledgeable. They are thoughtful about what they put in their products, how they test their products, and the effectiveness of their products. It's really important that a probiotic, for example, is able to survive all the way through your intestinal tract to your large intestines. Didn't know that. So I highly, highly recommend. I actually just replenished my supply and I got the Gut Health Tune-Up Kit. So you get your ultimate probiotic and the digestive enzyme. The digestive enzymes have been a game changer for me. I take them before a meal and I actually take them like if I have the afternoon and I'm not eating for a few hours, I'll take one in between as well. And it's really helped my bloating. It's helped my digestion. I tend to not chew my food as well as I should. So I would explore the website, see if there's anything that you need as related to your gut health. Your gut health affects your brain health, affects your emotional health. This is a really, really important thing to pay attention to. And we've also done an episode, two episodes with Charity Light and the founder of Silver Fern. So check those out for more information, but you can go to silverfernbrand.com and use the code ALMOST30 for 20% off your first order. So that's silverfernbrand.com. Code is ALMOST30 for 20% off your first order. I have been obsessed with astrology lately. I tend to pull up the chart of anyone I meet, especially people I'm dating, which, hey, I know might scare people away, but it really helps me to navigate relationships, learn more about myself and others. It's wildly fascinating. And if you are interested in astrology, I have the app for you. It's taught me so much so I can actually have productive and intelligent conversations with people about their various signs and anything and everything astrology. I am loving the Sanctuary Astrology app. Basically, it's an astrologer in your pocket. There are horoscopes delivered daily, live chat readings on demand every month for about 15 minutes. So you get to ask questions to an astrologer live. And they all also have guides to learn astrology, which is really interesting. So not just your sun sign, but we go deeper. We go to astrology basics, all the way to planetary guides and zodiac guides. They have it all. So it's really, really easy to use. And it's just so exciting, bringing astrology to people through a modern mode of communication, like on an easy to use app. So we are so excited to share this app with you. Just go to sanctuaryworld.co and click on Get Your Horoscope Now, or go to the App Store and type in Sanctuary Astrology. Let us know what you learn, what you like. Share in the secret Facebook group now, sanctuaryworld.co. Click on Get Your Horoscope Now, or go to the App Store and type in Sanctuary Astrology. Were you legitimately scared to be blacklisted in that way, or were you just trusting of the moment and the time?
I had gotten some advice from a couple attorneys. They were like, be careful, just keep your mouth shut. Like, really, like independent people who had no skin in the game. So, but I the only thing I had to be really, really careful of was disclosing the number of my salary, because per my contract, that was not
right.
That was not something I could do. And by the way, that was reported very incorrectly. Also, there were a lot of numbers just randomly being thrown around. They were so far from the truth. But I didn't think I would be blacklisted per se. I mean, but you have to remember, E is part of NBC Universal, which was 1,000 TV. It's like, oh God, I'm not going to just piss off one channel. I'm going to piss off about 10. But no, I obviously wasn't scared enough because it didn't stop me.
Yeah.
And so when you were like, hey, yo, I noticed. So how would you know? How would like someone, I guess, for thinking about women now in the workplace, how would they find out or notice that there was like a pay disparage or pay discrepancy?
For themselves in whatever industry they're working in?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a wonderful question. And that's the one that I think everybody's trying to figure out. I mean, the thing is, I mean, I think through these conversations, this idea of transparency is so very important. And people are finally having these taboo conversations, which people just didn't have. I mean, I never thought to even ask. You know, I'd been there for how many years? Like, it didn't even dawn on me because it was brought to my attention. That's the whole reason this whole thing kind of started, is that someone planted the seed that said, you're severely underpaid. I was like, wait, what? I didn't even think about that. So I think, you know, there is a certain amount of accountability that we as women have to put on ourselves to take ownership of our worth and our value and our experience and our education and whatever goes into that number and whatever job it is. We have to figure out where we are on that scale. And then, you know, there is a lot of information out there. I mean, there are websites that you can go to kind of look at what the going rate is for A, B, and C job in this city and this amount of education. So it requires some work. I think a lot of these corporations are trying to get on the side of what's right now. I think because everyone's getting exposed, and I mean, people, even if it's not like beautiful intention that they want everybody to be paid fairly, but more of they're scared of some type of, you know, backlash. I think it's motivating a lot of companies to look at their, I mean, rosters and just see how, you know, what the disparity is between, you know, men and women in various departments or jobs or whatever it is. And I have to say, because a whole new world has opened up to me and I've worked with so many amazing female-led companies. I'm doing an event this week with a clothing line called MM LaFleur, but it's a female CEO. And like, I mean, women in particular are doing such cool shit. Like they're just getting it done like we do, right? And they're like, no, we're going to change the whole structure of how people are paid. We're going to have, everybody's going to know what everybody makes. There's going to be all this equality. And I know it's not a perfect scenario because of course there are a million variables that go into why one person is paid what they are paid. But I just think the awareness is there now. I think the transparency is getting there. And I think eventually legislation might get there. So even, I mean, that takes forever. And it takes a lot to actually enforce said legislation because now it's technically illegal to pay someone, you know, based on gender differently. But it's like, who's actually, unless you're actually suing someone, which I did not, but like, then it's just, it's not enforced, right? So I think we're moving the needle. I think we're, you know, because of, you know, this organizing that so many women are doing, it's been so awesome to witness that we're, you know, we're making change. I just think it'd be great for the next generation and the girls coming out of college, like to just not step into what I did, you know, or what so many women are living in today. So if we can make a little progress, a lot of progress would be nice. It'd be a beautiful thing.
Yeah, agreed. I know Salesforce is one of the companies. They did like a review of everyone at their company to like reevaluate and make sure that the men and the women executives are being paid appropriately. And two, it is cool that like you were talking about that women are doing, that we're just starting our own shit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like we're like, I don't even want to participate in that. So let's just do our own shit.
Yeah. Like I might be paid the same as the other executives, but there's 10 of them and one of me. Like exactly. We're not even represented at the table, hardly, you know?
And it's so funny when like, when the men want to have a piece of what we do and then try to like slap, and I love men. It's more just like that old paradigm of whatever it is. And I just think like you and so many women, you know, out there being very outspoken are an example so that we can kind of have our like, you know, awareness up and on about, you know, certain paradigms that they might want to impose or conversations or how they might want to, you know, not have the conversation about pay or whatever it is. So I just think it's so valuable that we can talk about this and that it can be public and that companies are being called out in a way that ideally is going to improve their culture. Like even though it's a painful thing, you know, to have these conversations and make these changes because they've done it for this, yeah, the same
archaic
way.
It's just an archaic way that things used to be done. Yeah. And it just has to shift. And you're right. Women need the courage. And by the way, I understand not everybody, most people can't just quit their job because of pay. Like it's hard out there. People need their paycheck. And so, you know, it's a very tricky thing to start, you know, taking a stand on ethics when you have kids at home and you got to pay pay for the food and put them through college and then to take this big old stand and just quit. Like I have heard from so many women who are like, oh my God, help me. Like this is happening and that's happening and I can't get promoted and he got promoted. And then it's like happens all the time, but I'm just like, oh, hold it together. Don't walk out the door. You know, have a plan, have an exit strategy, work on your resume. There are a lot of steps you can take to before you move on. Mm.
Totally.
And then so you approached them with this, the discrepancy in the salary, and then you had a conversation and then they were like, nah, we're not gonna do it. So it's like a conversation had, and then they said no.
It's different. In my business, it's your agents negotiate. So I wasn't in those meetings. I was privy to what was said and where, you know, the play-by-play. I was kept abreast on the regular, but no, so I wasn't in those meetings.
Wow. I mean, serious props to you. Was there anybody that really stood out to you as someone that was super supportive and like super vocal about your situation and someone that you were like, wow, like you really appreciated their support of you and your decision?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so many kick-ass women come to mind. I mean, two were instrumental, one being Jennifer Lawrence. I had always been a fan of hers, and she was one of those people who, you know, watching her story and what she did, you know, in her whole like Sony movie, you know, she was one of the first people to mention, you know, the pay disparity for the movie she was working on. And why am I blanking on the movie right now?
So many, I don't know.
God, it was the, I don't know. Oh my God, I'm blanking. Anyway, she, you know, she wrote this, she penned this whole article, which was really ballsy, and calling out a big studio and saying, you know, what the, you know, what's a girl got to do? And, you know, so.
Was it Hunger Games?
No, it was the retro movie. It was like Cooper and Amy Adams and Christian Bale. Yeah. I can't believe I can't remember the movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, not only so was I in awe of her from a distance, but we became friends through my decision-making process. And I kind of really called on her for advice. And I honestly, like, I was so amazed by her strength and her courage and her bravery and what she stands for. Like, she always stands for something. And I was just so in awe. I'm like, this bitch, she's 15 years younger than me, but she knows who she is. And listen, I understand when you're making millions, it's a little easier to like, you know, but again, it's always relative, right? So,
but you got more people telling you who to be.
Exactly.
Sometimes in that situation.
Exactly. And you just, I was so astonished just by her clarity of self and what she stood for. And you know, as much as I knew what I wanted to do, I was still a scared little girl from Indiana. I was just lucky to be in Hollywood, you know, on the one hand, you know, but on the other hand, like, hold on, I've been doing this how long? I can, you know, do this in my sleep. Like, it's got to mean something. So all that was going on. But anyway, it was out of my wildest dreams, kind of the way that she kind of got in my corner for me, which I am forever indebted. And then the unexpected person was Amy Schumer. I don't know if you kind of saw how that went down.
Her, no.
I mean, again, it was just like, okay, she's universe, this is cool. Like, I was like, wow, I literally not expected whatsoever, but she posted an Instagram the weekend, or shortly after my departure. And it was, the Globes were coming up, you know, a couple of days later or whatever. And she just, as a fan of the show that I was on and the network in general, she just on her own volition was like, this is some bullshit. You know, what happened to Kat Sadler? Like this, I loved her. Like, why wasn't she getting paid? Like, it was just a really sweet kind of tale to another post she was writing about the Golden Globes. And then she's like, I stand with Kat, like totally out of nowhere. And I had met her a couple of times and was in awe of her also and thinking she's so funny and talented or whatever. But her post like struck a nerve with people because she was like one of the first people to on social media just kind of go off about the situation directly. And then it kind of spiraled. And before I knew it, we were DMing and she was like, we're organizing on your behalf at the Golden Globes tomorrow. Aww. And I was like, what does that mean? What? Oh, that was so scary too, right? Like I was...
Yeah. So they just passed by the E like interview still. Like what happened? Oh, they did?
Oh no. they called them out.
Well,
bless.
On live television.
I think I remember Eva Longoria saying something and then
Deborah Messing.
Yeah.
It was a whole thing. Yeah. It's, you know, it's still like brings up these nerves in me because a woman got fired over that. Also, she worked for E! And that became such a thing that day. I should say she settled. That's probably the right way to report it now. But she was let go and then she sued them. And because the direction she got that day when all these celebrities started bringing me up, they were like, no, her story, I'm reporting allegedly, her story was that as a producer, they were like, don't let any of that air. It doesn't go to air. We're not doing anything live anymore. We tape it. If they mention Kat, it doesn't go on TV. And they kept getting on TV, or at least the Eva one that you mentioned got on TV. And so she lost her job over it. And then she sued. And then they settled.
Damn. Hopefully she got some cash money.
It's just like, I wonder when there's going to be like a conscious leader that people look to at these bigger networks, organizations, whatever, where it's like, hey, let's think about like the long game. Wouldn't it have been fucking cool if E let that stuff air, all of it air, and was like, hey, you're right. We'll do better next time and we're going to change. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
Like it's to quiet it is like actually just as bad, if not worse. Like that looks so fucking bad, you know? So
I think you're right. I think you're spot on. I think they just considered it like a publicity nightmare at the time, but
hey, I don't know. Sometimes sitting in your own shit, like if I see someone sit in their own shit, I'm like, respect. I'm almost not going to attack you right now because you're being, you get it and you're like there.
That's all I want.
So like just own it. And if it's like really messy, like be like, hey, I'm working through it and we're going to try to do better here at E and then like reapproach it. But yeah, wow. That says a lot.
That didn't happen.
Well, honestly, you like changed the game for so many and you were the first of so many. And to know that you did that in your lifetime, you know, that you like fulfilled your soul's purpose of being this like amazing voice and being a person that speaks for so many, and then to like live in your truth and make that decision when no one would have known if you didn't.
Right.
No one would have known if you stayed.
Right.
You know, and it's so powerful and it makes you so special. Like you already are special.
Oh, gosh,
but I mean,
guys,
that's like,
guys, that's true. That's
it is.
So
it's crazy.
You know, listen, it is interesting to look back because in retrospect, it's kind of like, you know, you do have those, oh, so that's why that happened. I do believe it all kind of unfolds as it is supposed to and as hard of a time that was and a difficult decision to make and sad for leaving my work family because so many people I worked with all those years, like there were so many heavy parts of that. But now, I mean, I honestly can sit here at this table and tell you guys I've never been happier in my entire life. I feel connected to myself. I'm in charge of my life. I'm living it on my own terms. I have my own business. And now creatively, I'm in this whole new world where I can do anything I choose. And of course, I still have bills to pay. Don't get me wrong. And I still have to provide for my kids. And all of that is what drives me every day. But like I'm working on one TV project right now, which of course I can only say so much about, but I'm like, oh my God, this is like, I thought that was my dream. This is my dream. And I wouldn't have known had I not gone through all that. So it's so cool how life works. Again, by I think just living your truth, doing the right thing for you, because it all just works out. And that was scary, of course. But now I'm like, oh my God, this is happening in this space and this TV, you know, creative energy and like all the dreams I didn't even know that I had. Like now I'm like in the middle of it and I'm learning so much. I'm learning so much about the business because back to, you know, our talks about IFBs and just being on a carpet and interviewing celebrities. Like now I'm on the other side. You know, I'm in pitch rooms pitching shows and developing shows and working with showrunners and like, so many good things are in the works and the podcast I'm doing, which again is such freedom. It's so liberating to have conversations like we are having, which I never had back then. You know, I would go out and do a 30-minute interview with, you know, whomever celebrity, which was fascinating, but you know, it got edited down to 45 seconds on the nightly news. Like now this is meaningful. This is, you know, I think we're impacting our audiences and that's what I want to do. That's what I was supposed to do. You know, this is what all that the trajectory was supposed to be about. So the way I see it, I have a lot of work to still do. And I've never been more energized. I feel like really clear. It's really exciting.
Mm. The universe rewards those hard decisions. Really, truly. Whenever you make hard decisions, the universe really rewards it and provides you with something. You wouldn't have, you know, this much of clarity if you would have stuck with it. And I'm so excited about your podcast. That is like such a great avenue for you. And, you know, someone that's been in show business for as long as you are and is as visible as you are, there's no really hiding. So I expected you to be as amazing as you are in person as, you know, you are on TV, because you can't really fake it for that long. So can you tell our audience a little bit about what it's going to be called, where they can find it?
Yeah, well, it's funny. Exactly what you just said is it's called Naked with Kat Sadler. And the whole point, the whole impetus behind the show was let's get raw. Let's get real. Let's shed our armor. Let's take off all the crap that we put on to keep us between ourselves and other people, and sometimes keep us from ourselves. And how can I have conversations with these remarkable women across all industries who are doing really fascinating things, who have these really great stories, but maybe haven't shared them? I mean, you know, my first guest was Olivia Munn, and, you know, I knew, you know, she's always been a great interview, but I never expected her to like stay for 4 hours in my bedroom and let it all hang out in a way that like will really surprise people. Wow. I mean, it's just like, I don't care if you're an A-list celebrity or what you do, like at the end of the day, we're all just human beings and everybody hurts and everybody has similar challenges. And she was very, very vulnerable. So we're getting naked in the sense of just, I'm only interested in conversations that mean something or invoke a lot of thought, or I want the listeners to feel more safe in their own skin about what they go through. They're not alone. And so hopefully to kind of expose a lot of stories and a lot of truths. And so far it's just been fascinating. We do tape in my bedroom, which in and of itself is kind of designed to already kind of lay the groundwork for just being really intimate. But in the first couple minutes of every conversation, my guest and I take something off. So whether it's your engagement ring or whether it's all your makeup or whether it is your shirt. And let me just tell you, because this podcast has not dropped yet, but one of my guests, literally, as she describes it, is tits out, full on topless.
Really?
Oh yeah. Wow. It's an all female crew.
Let me guess. No, I don't know.
And I have to think about it.
Coming soon.
That's so cool.
But it was funny because I actually taped that interview first. It hasn't dropped yet, but she was my actual first interview. And I was explaining the concept. And I was like, okay, now I'm going to take something off. You take something off just so we can shed something to kind of create this really open energy. And she's like, oh, like take off anything like my shirt? I was like, well, I mean, if you want to. She's like, I'm your first. I was like, yeah. She's like, all right, tits out. Literally, we sat there across from one another and she's topless the whole time. And I was like, amazing. I freaking love
what
this.
A baller.
Baller. But you know, that's kind of part
is that
of the
Gaga.
Oh, I wish. Oh, Lady Gaga,
best boobs.
Please come. But that environment is kind of what I'm trying to create. And it's also, you know, slightly self-serving because I was so used to doing everything so manicured and so perfect. And so,
I was about to say, you know, the juxtaposition of you going from red carpet, asking these, you know, great questions, but obviously like scripted and whatnot. And now just like really getting to what you care about and... yeah, stripping it all down. I think that's so genius.
Well, thank you. I feel very, very fortunate to just have kind of been in the position that I am now. So, And people are really responding to it. And I am so indebted to the guests who are saying yes so far, which is awesome. And I'm touched by the whole thing. So I'm just leaning in and hopefully people will subscribe. You guys, I'm new to
everyone
this.
Subscribe.
Ooh, yeah. Subscribe.
Rate and review.
It's important.
Yeah.
It's important.
Get us on the
I subscribe
iTunes
to yours
charts.
Just so you know.
Thank
you. I had heard it Thank before, you. But I had not subscribed until just recently, but you guys don't need me.
I know. We tell our people that we're like, we're sorry, but fucking review, please.
So reviews are important.
So important.
For iTunes.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
It's all crazy.
I'm learning.
It's all crazy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
When are you? Are you guys?
You'll be fine. I'm pretty sure you'll be fine.
I don't know that that's true. I mean, listen, as you know, it's a very saturated industry or business right now.
I believe it is too. It's just, it is also the beginning. It's one of those things where like people are like, it's saturated, but it still is the beginning. But I don't know.
Or it still feels like a Wild West a little bit where like, you know, Apple like Spotify's caring a lot about it right now and Apple's kind of like, I don't know. And you know, it's like a very weird thing where where's the focus going? But
you know what I love about it? And this is what I love about your podcast in particular. And I was thinking this after listening to yours, True Story, is thank God for this wild, wild west space and this new way that people are consuming information, because yes, it is entertaining and, you know, depends on what you're listening to, obviously, but you know, your whole intention and your mission is like, you're really, really like, this is a self-help genre and you're helping people and it is entertaining, but there are these takeaways. And I'm just thinking back again, I'm going to sound like my mother always, like when I was young, but this just wasn't there. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Other than like NPR, where you really try to get smart if you turn on the radio, it was either TV entertainment really, or Oprah. I mean, honestly,
truly.
I mean, so I thought about that. I was listening to your podcast. I was like, well, you know, I think we're all really hungry. I think everybody wants to feel good. And we're all on this journey of trying to figure it out. And so the more of this, I say, the better, right?
I completely agree.
And the right people will find your podcast.
Yeah.
The right people will find our podcast. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it always feels like that. I think in the beginning, it was like, like as many people as possible, come listen, write the reviews. It's like, we still obviously want that to reach more people, but it's like a bit more peaceful where we're like, the right people are finding us like randomly. And, you know, they find us at the right time. They'll find you at the right, you know, it's like, it's a very interesting energy around what's being created.
And that speaks with, again, to just doing what works for you.
Yes.
Not because you're trying to be anything for anybody else.
Exactly.
And then you will attract who should be here.
So, and the impact is so deep. It's like, we have people that honestly, you know, and I'm not even saying this as an ego thing, write us every day that we've changed their lives in like some sort of way. So it's like, I'd rather have 3 people that I've changed their lives than like 4,000 that are just like, you know, maybe like whatever. But that's amazing. And then where else can, you know, our listeners connect with you to learn more?
Find
all
me.
Those things.
Okay. So Naked, the podcast is now out. So yes, please subscribe, rate, and review apparently.
Mm-hmm. My gosh, you're so smart. You're like, this is, we know you're a professional, because I'm like, is it? It's not out. And I'm like, oh, it's out.
Man, I
didn't
know.
She's so pro.
That's why I'm not talking about the Game of Thrones finale, because I was like, I wanted to, but this will be old by then. Oh, yes. So I do have a YouTube channel. That's a fun little it's an experiment that I'm doing. I got a lot of advice to do it. You know, that's kind of the fun thing, is that I'm dabbling in a lot of different mediums. And I do love videos. So obviously the podcast is not that. So I'm playing on YouTube. You can find me there. And then I am, like I said, I am at the core a television host. So I am producer. So I'm developing a handful of things. I have a first look deal with TNT. So we're working on some really cool stuff, and I'll be able to share with you what that is hopefully soon. And you never know where I might just end up. But I do have my website also, thecatwalk.com, where I do have some written interviews there that, again, all women, and it is the Naked series. So you can find that there. And then I am just an Instagram addict. So please come follow me on Instagram, because I'm slightly addicted.
Yeah. Yes. You're so good. I love you on Instagram.
Thanks.
And in person, but
always.
Yeah.
Love you too.
When it's the same, it's nice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I do.
Sometimes you're
you know, we know, you know. Honey, you know.
Let's get off and talk about
it. I know, honestly.
Thank you so much for being here. Well,
thank you for having me. And much continued success to you guys, because you are killing it.
Thank you. Thanks. Any way we can, you know, just support you and whatever, like, we're just so happy. I think LA's an interesting place, but also a very special place for women who are creative and just doing their own thing. And I just feel so lucky to meet women like you.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thanks.
Go subscribe to Naked. We'll talk to you guys later.
Love you.
Bye.
More. Thank you so much, Kat Sadler. Mm. You're the best.
You can follow Kat Sadler at I am Kat Sadler on Instagram. I am C-A-T-T Sadler on Instagram. And her new podcast is Naked. You can get it wherever podcasts are available.
Yeah, it's amazing. And we have a review of the week. So at the beginning of the podcast, we mentioned that reviews mean a lot to us. We mean it. We read every one of them. And it really helps us to bring on guests like Kat and just to get the word out there. So we really, really appreciate it. This week, 5 stars, my faves. Literally the best podcast out there for women under 30, over 30. any age, something for everyone always. Whenever I am not feeling myself or feeling lost, they always seem to have what I need. So sweet. It's from 2K fam.
Oh, oh yeah.
We got to 2K. Woo. Woo.
You guys crushed the 2K, the 2K journey. So thank you so much. Also stay tuned. So across the next couple months, we have a lot of giveaways happening for you on Instagram. Our team, our social team and Chloe have been working hard to get some amazing products to you for free. So we are reaching out to all of our favorite partners and we have giveaways happening for you from Vital Proteins, Hum Nutrition, Chosen Foods, Splendor Bombs, and various other of our favorites. So keep an eye out for Almost 30 Podcast on Instagram for those giveaways.
As always, we love you. Thank you for listening. And we are on tour. So check out our tour dates and locations, almost30podcast.com/tour. We cannot wait to meet you. The response has been so great this new year.
Yeah.
And we're just going to keep touring until we die.
Yep. Philly, Columbus, DC, New York has three shows. We have Los Angeles happening at the end of this month and Miami in December.
Chicago.
Nashville. There's two events happening in Nashville.
It's going to be great. So we can't wait to meet you. Thanks so much for listening, sharing with your friends and inspiring us. You guys inspire us. You inspire our content and you inspire us to keep doing this. So thank you. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.